Hello, and welcome to 18 Time, a podcast by two guys with an approximate knowledge of many things. I'm Feet.
And I'm Tommy.
And we are back once again. Last week we had a friend. He is now gone. It's just us this time. How are you doing this week, Tommy?
I'm doing okay. It's been going, as they say in the business. I really can't complain.
I know you were saying it's been a bit of a weird one, but...
Yeah, no, but that happens, I feel.
It does.
It happens to everybody. But to, I guess, counteract the weirdness of that, I have been delving a little bit, if you catch my cold.
Oh.
I've been playing a series of games that I found on itch.io, and let me tell you, weird. That's the only word I can say, is weird.
Yeah.
Also awesome. I guess I could say two words. Weird and awesome. So, the games we're talking about, of course, or the game, is Pagan 3 Autogony. I beat it. I did a couple of the endings.
Whoa! Future Feats back again with a super quick heads up. This episode features spoilers for the Pagan trilogy of video games, so be warned. If you have any interest in experiencing them yourself, definitely check them out before listening. But they are still worth playing either way. Also, another side note, we do mess up some pronouns right at the beginning here, but we realized our mistake partway through recording, so big apologies there, but promise we get there eventually. Anyways, carry on.
I think there's five endings, and I think I've done three of them.
Five endings? Wow.
Yeah. I've done the basic ending, which is just you release the quote-unquote martyr, and I have... done, which is like the body parts you have to put together to like release this entity, and it just makes this really loud white noise, and then just keeps going like, oh, it's the tastiest thing, and then it just like quote unquote crashes and is like, oh, your computer ended the program because we wanted to make sure the martyr was still restrained, the failsafe or was unlocked or whatever.
Correct me if I'm wrong, the whole premise of the game, just to set it up, is you're like walking around an abandoned MMO, right?
Yes, so it's an abandoned MMORPG called, one second, it's called Plaza 94, 96, something like that.
Oh, I really like that title.
So, I guess before we get on the real deep dive of this whole series, because like I said, it's Pagan 3, there are two other games by this guy in the quote-unquote Pagan series, and there is like lore behind the game, but like behind the game's, like, I think the best way to explain it is like it's not the lore of like the game world, it's the lore of the creation of the game.
Oh,
in the world that this is an MMO in, if that makes sense.
Huh.
Here, I'm gonna try and see if I can find the, what's it called? Because there is actually an existing quote-unquote wiki, I guess. He is coming out with another game.
Oh, in this series?
It's not, I don't think it's in the same series. I think he's done with Pagan, maybe. But it's a similar, I guess, vibe as these games. But, okay, so I'm just gonna take this from what I heard, from what I, like, I watched a bunch of videos on this, but I'm gonna take this from what I remember. So basically, Plaza 96 or 95 or whatever the game is called was created by this like Albanian company in the 90s, and then they had to shut it down for some reason, and so autogeny is a shorter version of autogenesis, which is the creation of life in a place where there is none. See, who says you don't learn on this podcast?
Exactly. Informational, educational.
It's a hypothetical organic phenomenon by which living organisms are created from non-living matter.
Oh.
So basically, it means that living things are created from things that are not supposed to...
be alive?
Be alive, yeah. So the whole thing is, like, this MMO has been left for so long, but, like, somehow the servers are still up or something, and... the game is getting its own form of, like...
intelligence?
Sentience.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But so, like, the martyr, I think, is some... is, like, the heart of that, maybe? I don't know. But then if you can, like, unrestrict the martyr by finding the world tarot card, which is in the thing, which is in the game. You can, like, unlock the martyr or whatever, and then it's like, destroy this computer, the martyr is out, and it ends there. And then for the secret ending, you need to find tarot card zero, which is the fool. And the only way you can find that is if you equip the world, which makes you invincible, but it means you also can't hurt NPCs.
Oh.
You punch an NPC in the dungeon that the martyr is in, force it to go to a certain wall, and then you have to jump onto the NPC and then jump over the wall and out of the map, and that's how you get to the fool.
Oh my goodness. That's so interesting.
Yeah. It was, I had to look it up. I'm gonna be perfectly transparent here. I looked it up.
Dude, now you're thinking with portals, my guy.
Exactly. It was kind of silly, but you know what? I thought it was cool.
Well, I feel like that's kind of the thing with, like, the whole game is the graphics are very, I don't know if, like, they're low poly, intentionally so, but I don't know if low poly gives the right energy that I'm trying to convey with it, you know? They feel unfinished, I guess. In, like, an intentional way, maybe? I don't know. Maybe I'm just making up crap that makes no sense. But, like, the NPCs in this third game, at least, are just kind of these, like, crystal, ambiguous shapes. And there's this one creature that's just this, like, figure of a man all blacked out that's just T-posing, basically, like, the default.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, it's freaky. The graphics are freaky.
But, like, it's very PS1 abandonware looking.
The yeah.
thing is, though, like, I was reading some of the comments for it, and somebody was like, the graphics are just so hard to look at. And I was like, I feel like if the graphics were good, it would take away from the game completely.
Yes, dude. I completely agree, because I think it loses that sense of, kind of, like, that feeling that something is just not right, I guess. And, I mean, you know, throwback to our 7th episode, where we had a really good conversation about that. Just to sum up our point there, if you haven't listens to it, of sometimes you need quote-unquote bad graphics to kind of enhance your meaning, and I think it really works to the game's benefit here, like yeah. you're saying.
But so an interesting thing that I figured out about this game, kind of, or not figured out, but I guess was, I looked into it, and I'll do a quick, like, I guess I'll give you some pieces, and I want you to take a guess after I give you some of the pieces and what you already know about the game, and see what, like, if you can piece together an idea of what you think this game might actually be about. Because it, like, when it was finally all the pieces came together, and, like, it was, I guess, told in a bigger picture, kind of blew my mind.
All right, I bet I can crack it. I'm a genius.
Of course. So, the tags of the game.
Okay.
Alt game. Art game. Atmospheric. Experimental. Female protagonist. Horror. LGBT. Lo-fi. Queer. Retro.
So the things that are definitely immediately standing out to me is the LGBT stuff and the female protagonist stuff.
As well as, yeah. And then if you look in the description for the game, one of the things that it says is very cursed gender magic.
And kind of to explain our confusion here, the character of the protagonist, at least from what I played, is not really relevant, and there's no evidence to suggest anything like that, which is just why I'm like, that's surprising.
Actually, Feats, that's where you're wrong.
Ooh, okay.
You play as a character that is called by other characters, as well as when you first load in the game at the bottom, it says it, is Vivian.
Okay, alright, good name, I like the name.
So it's Vivian, which is generally a female name, a woman, lady, whoever you want, whatever. And then another interesting part is, do you remember one of the skills that you level up as you the game goes on?
Shoot, let's see. I remember there was murder, poetry, yes. Yep. What were the other ones? I don't remember the other ones.
Caffeine.
Yes, caffeine.
Bodybuilding.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, for, like, people who haven't played, is in relevance to
The goal of the game.
The goal, so like putting the martyr together, because what you do is you literally find pieces of the martyr, who, by the way, is a woman. That'll be important. Or a feminine figure, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Oh, okay.
So, and then the last one, which is, I guess, signified by collecting little orange pill bottles, is estrogen.
Oh. Did not remember that.
Do you kind of, like, get what maybe the whole, I guess, point of at least this part of the series has a behind? I mean, it does also, this is not the only thing that the game is pointing toward. There is, because once we bring up the other two games, which I've played from, like, start to finish, it's not the only, like, thing that the game is presenting, but I think this is one of the more interesting hidden things. Can you kind of, what do you think all of this is coming together to be a theme, I guess?
I mean, it seems like some sort of, like, you know, you're like, building and finding an identity, maybe, or, like, you know, growing as a woman, as a person, maybe.
So, that is definitely a reasonable way to look at it, I guess, and I think there was, like, one part at the end where there's, like, this poem about finding your own person, but the way, I guess, it was looked at, and I pieced stuff together, and then I watched, like, multiple videos on it, too, and actually, I'm gonna find the name of the YouTube video just so, the big one that I watched, in a second, but from, I guess, what I'm piecing together is that the whole thing, in a very weird, abstract, crazy way, is, because you were talking about finding identity, it's all about, what's the best way to put this? It's, your character is, like, it's about an adventure of finding yourself as a transgender female.
Yeah, okay, I see, yeah, I see that.
Yeah, and when I piece that all together after playing this game for, like, an ungodly amount of time, and when I say ungodly, it was, like, 3 or 4 hours, but when you're playing this game, also, the YouTuber is called Painticus. I highly advise you look at that video, too, because he knows what he's talking about. Not saying I don't, but he does. Anyhow, but when I, like, pieced all that together, and, like, I was, like, thinking to myself, I was looking at this game from such a, like, ooh, spoopy, I guess, frame of mind.
Yeah.
Like, once I put that all together, I was, like, mind explosion. Just, like, my brain detonated. And I thought it was super duper cool the way it was done and how it was, like, so well put together, and, like, it wasn't something where it was there to be found, but it, like, I guess it wasn't the main theme of the game, but that made it just so much cooler, I felt. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's kind of like, I have a lot of respect for those stories and mediums that are telling that surface level story, and it's like, oh, that's really cool, there's themes there, but then there's that subtext that runs through the whole thing, and you're like, oh, wow. Like, I won't derail this too much, but I watched a really interesting video about Inception the other day, and how there's this theory that the whole movie Inception, which is like a heist movie, and it's the movie where you're, you know, going in different levels of dreams and stuff, there's a theory that the whole movie of Inception is one giant allegory for filmmaking, and that kind of stuff is so cool. But this is even cooler than that, honestly, because this is, like, not at all what I would have expected either.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's just like, like I said, when I was, like, I guess, watching it, like, the whole thing, I was, like, and as I watched that video, and then as I, like, recalled all these individual experiences that I had, it was really cool. It was just cool to put it together,
yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
No, for sure, because it's super subtle.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, you didn't get it.
I get everything.
But I don't know, I that was cool, and then otherwise, even if you already, like, know this, and maybe at the end of this feats we should, like, probably make, like, a spoiler warning. If you haven't played these and you're interested in playing them,
yeah, good thought,
you should play them first. They're, the first two are free, and the third one is pretty cheap.
It's that being the one I've played, and I haven't even beaten, it's definitely worth the money if it sounds even remotely interesting to you.
Yeah. And then, like, just otherwise, I don't know, it's just a really cool game without, if Oleander Garden took out all of, I'm looking right now, it's, their pronouns, or is they, she. So that's how I refer to Oleandergaard now. But even if they hadn't put all the stuff together, like, that whole message, the game would have been really cool anyway, but just, like, that little extra, like, throwdown in a game that was supposed to be a harder game but almost has, like, a cool message, too, that's, in a way, hopeful, I guess. I don't know how to put it. I don't know. Like, I just thought it was really cool. Otherwise, I could just gush about this game for ages, because it just has all these other cool features to them. Like, there's a little tavern you can go into, and it just plays music, and it literally has no relevance to the game, but it's there. It's kind of an atmosphere thing. Like, almost every other place in that game has, like, some sort of relevance, but that place, I couldn't find any. And you know what? That was dope.
I love that. That sounds super cozy.
Yeah, it's in the, what's it called? Like, that swamp area.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, it's such, like, a full game, and there's just this level of eeriness that I feel like it's really hard for a lot of games to copy. I'm really not fond of horror games. It's not a thing I enjoy. Feats can attest to this. He has seen me play Amnesia. I do not do well with horror.
That is true, and I thought I didn't... This is not meant to be a roast.
No,
it's... Actually, it's gonna sound like a roast. I was just gonna say, I thought I was bad with horror, but... Then I was playing that with you, and I was just memeing around, and you were like, I'm done now. Which, I don't blame you. I'm not a huge fan of the horror genre either. Just not my thing, so I get
it. But I've learned that I like this kind of... I don't even know if I would call it horror. It's just its own thing, and I don't know.
I'm going to really show my lack of knowledge here, but I feel like atmospheric horror is a thing.
I think it is, yeah.
And I think that's the kind of that we like, because it's like, it's that slight unsettling feel where it's not too terrifying, but you're like, something's off here.
Yeah. So that actually is very well echoed in the first two games as well, which I guess I should probably bring up. They're there. They're great. They're awesome. And they do have like a weird relevance to, they have like a weird like way they connect to the third game, even though other than just in name and in some of the themes and stuff.
Interesting.
Do you remember in Autogony, so the third one, do you remember the boat that was like crashed? Did you ever find that?
That sounds very familiar, yeah.
But in, once again, this is the swamp zone, there's like a crashed ship. That ship shows up in all three games.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. So let's go on the Wayback Machine. By the Wayback Machine, I mean technically it was forward for me, because, you know, I played the first one second to Pagan Technopolis.
Yes.
So Technopolis, it only has two endings. It's not as big as, neither of these games are as big as the third one.
Okay.
The third one was very obviously like, and I'm not saying a ton of time wasn't put into the first two, but like the third one, you can tell there was a lot of love put into the third one.
It's the masterpiece.
It's the masterpiece.
I would also like to say, I meant to say this, well, I thought of this just too late, but like, if anyone out there can like relate to experiences like this and can attest if it feels genuine, I would love, like, write in and tell us, because I would be fascinated to hear a perspective of somebody who, you know, knows this a lot better than we probably do. So like that whole identity thing, I don't know, I'd be really interested to hear if that rings true to people. Anyways, sorry, you can continue. Yep.
So anyhow, the first one was Pagan Technopolis, and it is, I guess, it. So this one takes place in like a more modern looking cityscape or whatever, and those oblong things are around, like the NPCs are around you, but they don't talk.
Ooh, okay.
So you can't talk to them, and you can't really interact with most of them. And when you go in, the first thing you hear is like this tapping on something. It's like a banging more on something. And are scattered around the city, there are these cars. There's one oblong person to each of them, and they have these stone pickaxes, and they're just hitting the cars.
You know, like you do.
I don't know. I was like, hell yeah, why not? And you kind of just like, it's very similar to Autogony, where like you just go and you just start looking around. it's all in this one little courtyard area, and then you kind of go out of it to, like, the harbor, but once again, that's not really far, and that's where you see the boat, and then the whole, like, main thing of the game is you have to find these VHS tapes, put them in a TV that's, like, spitting some sort of propaganda. I couldn't tell what it was saying. I didn't really listen. And you look, and behind you there's, like, this, like, stone... I wouldn't even call it a pillar. It's just, like, kind of like a mound of stone. And then as you put more VHS tapes into the thing, it, like, breaks down into this, like, statue of a woman. And it's not the statue of the martyr that you put together in the third one, but it's a similar statue that you also see in the third one. And actually, I was incorrect in saying that the boat is the only thing that shows up in all three games. The statue also shows up in all three games.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I remember, like, the, what's his name? Sorry, one sec. Paint-A-Kiss's video on...
The series?
The, like, on the series, yeah, he talks about how he actually kind of, like, guessed that the second game came out, like, in, like, the lore, the timeline.
Yeah.
Emporium, which is the second game, is actually the first, it's, like, the earliest. It's, bro, I don't even know.
So, what is the second one, like, or, sorry, the first one, we're still on the first one. What is the first one, like, about? So, you're dismantling this propaganda, and then... there's a statue, and
you're not really, it's more you're just forming the statue by putting the VHS into the propaganda.
Okay.
I'm not sure as much about the exact point of Technopolis. I think it's to make a similar, like, eerie feeling or whatever. There's, so it's the inventory is the exact same, except instead of tarot cards, it's two other things, which you actually never fill, which I thought was interesting.
Very interesting.
And then the it's five completely different,
like, traits.
Yes. So I think it's, like, philosophy, fox devil worshiper. Yeah, nice. There's, like, a fox cult. I don't even know how to explain it, and I don't even want to try to explain it. I don't even remember the other ones, but they were all just wild. And then there's this... So, this game, though, as much as I said, I didn't get the point as much, and it wasn't... This was probably my second favorite. I think my least favorite was the second one, and I'll get to why in a second. This one, I think, in my opinion, had the scariest moment in all three games.
Really?
Or the one that made the hair on my arms, whatever... raise and gave me goosebumps, and I didn't like it, but I still kind of liked it, is so you can actually find these five floppy disks around the map. They're different than the VHS tapes, and you, like, have to bring them to the certain part of the map, and when you put them in, it's like, enter the virtual something or rather. And so the building you're in when you do that has, like, this, like, music going, and it's kind of pumping you up or whatever, and it's good music, and it's kind of like uplifting music. And then you go into this room that just has the worst, eeriest noise, and I hated it. So, and there's a picture on the other end of, like, just this woman that's super bit crushed and super deep fried, and it really just, I was not feeling it. I was not having it.
That does sound really unsettling.
Yeah. It was, oh my goodness.
But it's fascinating, like, knowing the context of that third game. I mean, obviously, I think we'll get to the larger context of the series as we're going, but I can see how things are, like, could play into some potential, like, you know, emotional experience that might be replicating. Again, that I don't know myself, but, you know, from what I've heard, obviously.
Like, honestly? Maybe.
I don't know.
You could be 100% right, because the thing is, there are some, like, inklings of that whole thing, because, like, once again, in this one, you're creating a statue of a woman in the back, or what, in the middle, and you know what? I don't know if how connected they are, but they could be very connected in that, and if so, that's dope.
Yeah.
I'm down with that, too. Oh, yeah, I'm looking at Oleander Garden's Twitter right now, and... I love the collections Autogeny gets added to, and one of them is trans.
Ah. I mean, is there anything else, like, interesting or noteworthy about this first game?
It's, I mean, once again, it has the same vibes that the other two had. I mean, that the other one, or that Autogeny had. I really think that, like, overall, it's still just great. It brings vibes that I was not expecting, and I have not felt before, and I was down with it, and I wasn't disappointed. I'll say that much. I was not at all disappointed, because the thing is, like, it was, like, the first game in the series, and it was on itch.io, too, you know? You're not expecting a ton on itch.io sometimes.
Yeah.
I was far from disappointed. I thought it was awesome. I had a great time. I blew through it in, like, an hour.
Dude, I don't want to get ahead of myself here. I mean, we say this a lot, but if Oleander ever wants to come on the show, I wouldn't say no.
100%. I think, honestly, might have to tag Oleander.
Dude, might have to.
Even if it's in the slightest, just so Oleander knows, Oleander, we love your game. It's our games.
Yeah.
Fantastic, and I'm insanely excited for Eventide Sigil. I'm 100% getting that when it comes out.
Oh, yeah. What's our next game going to be? Not to get ahead of ourselves here.
It's just called Eventide Sigil, and it's part of a series called Hexcraft. I'm very excited. And it takes place in the industrial wreckage of a Midwestern town. I mean, come on.
Oh, that's right up your alley.
That's my vibe right there. That's just the whole thing. Honestly, Biden.
Dude, we might have to play that together if it comes out during this this year.
Dude, yes. Well, it's supposed to come out in August.
Oh, perfect.
So that might be one of the first things we do when we come back.
Anyways.
So anyhow, back to Technopolis. Just in general, cursed in all the right ways once again. There are some little surprises in there that I don't think I'm going to get too into. One of them, I will say, though, is just a wall where the pillars are made of mouths.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, it's weird, but great game. Great games. I honestly, like, right after this, I might just really quickly just run through Technopolis again, because it's really short, and I enjoyed it very highly.
Yeah, dude.
So, now we're going to get into my personal least favorite of the three, which is Emporium. It's the second one. Once again, I'm going to say this right now. By no means is it bad. Was it still great and still gave me creepy vibes? Yes. There was just some parts to it wasn't a huge fan of. Also, it was like the quickest of the three. I think I finished it in about 20 minutes.
Wow.
It was not very hard to figure out, and I pretty much explored, I think, about everything, if I remember correctly, but I don't want to say that I did, and turns out I didn't. But also, all the NPCs are not our oblong friends. They're shaped like humans.
See, I feel like that's almost more cursed in this series at that point.
I guess, but, like, I don't know. They're interesting. I won't say too much about what they look like, because I think explaining them is not going to help. But I don't know. I wasn't super huge on it. Like I said, it was really quick. I don't have a ton to say about it. The sword. Oh, you remember the sword, the mystic sword that you pick up?
Yes, in the third game.
Yes, that is also in all three games, but in the second one, it is the only game where it is referred to as Excalibur. Which is interesting. I don't know. But, yeah. They're still super screwy and super messy and stuff. But I just love them. Like, I just love it. It's great. It's so much fun. So much fun going through all those. And those, like, really made me want to find more games of that kind. But the sad part is, I don't know how much better than this you can get. I don't even know how possible it is to get to this level.
Dang. Dude, a lot of high praise from you tonight.
It's great. I love it. All of the open stuff, all the hidden stuff. It's fantastic. Love it. And I feel like we still haven't even explained, like, everything.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I still have a lot of questions. I mean, I guess my question for you is, like,
yeah.
So how do these other two games tie into this larger lore and narrative that you're talking about? Because you said there was some kind of explanation for the existence of the third game or something.
Yeah, so I really want to see if I can find, I don't even know. Also, a quick shout out to Painticus as well. I watched a few of Painticus's videos, very few, so only 1,000 subscribers, but his videos are just amazing. They're fantastic. Like, I feel like it's the type of stuff that you would see in a channel with millions of subscribers, and I think it's kind of a crime that Painticus doesn't have more subscribers.
Yeah, I mean, go check that out, because I'm definitely gonna check that out at this point. It sounds like my kind of content.
definitely feats after you finish all three Pagan games, if you so choose to look into the video, the Analyzing the Pagan Trilogy video. Awesome stuff. But anyhow, I'm really just looking into this because let's see if I can find, there's like this wiki that exists. It's also, so the game is called Plaza 96. I was somewhat correct, I guess. I really don't know where Painticus found this stuff, but basically it says that Plaza 96 was an MMORPG for Microsoft Windows OS and Microsoft Disk OS, developed and published by Albanian art collective Xeno Softworks in late 1996. The game was played in a large seamless virtual world, which would host hundreds of players, characters, or avatars simultaneously. While the DOS client was limited to a text-based interface, the Windows 95 release allowed users to interact in full 3D, a technological marvel. It went offline in early 1997, coinciding with the start of the Albanian Civil War. Very little is known about it today, and then players who remember the game describe bizarre incongruent landscapes with mixed techno-utopianism, with esoteric mysticism. Such reports by their nature, unverifiable.
So, two things I will quickly comment on before I let you continue. One, I've gotta say, I never thought in a million years that we would be talking about the Albanian Civil War on this podcast.
Yes.
And my second point is just, I think a lot of credit is due here where there's a lot of creepypastas. It's really hard to get that creepy feeling of a video game right, I think, where you're like, oh, it's weird landscapes and strange stuff, because I feel like most times that people try to do that, it can very easily come across as really cheesy, but I don't think it does here. Definitely. So, props there.
Oh yeah, 100%. Props just everywhere. It's like, I think the biggest wow of this is like outside world lore. I think is just wild.
Yeah.
Like what the heck? Oh yeah. So you can find it on oleander.garden. Apparently, already Oleander Garden has a website.
There you go. Check that out.
They've got other stuff on there, like films and other things, which I might peep out. But yeah, Xeno Softworks. Apparently, Xeno Softworks has made a bunch of games, such as Humanicide, which is a film. Actually, so they made a film, apparently. Your Child Looking West, which is another game. The Moon Moves in Tight Circles, another game. And then, get ready for this, Elohim, Wounded and Weeping, a pornographic film.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I'm very confused. And then there's Body, I Do Not Want This Body, a game. And then Opus number 12 in E minor.
Oh yeah, E minor. Yeah, all right. I've got to say, the Body one. Yeah. The Body one really stands out to me as, I don't know, like dealing with body, sex and gender body. Identity.
Yeah. Which I think, once again, it's like a tiny, tiny thing that most people who play through the game wouldn't even care about. But the fact that it's there is amazing. Like just awesome. And then Your Child Looking West is the first video game by Albania art collective Xeno Softworks, released June 1994 for Microsoft DOS. The game is known to be a first-person dungeon crawler set in 19th century California. The player attempts to reunite the shards of the legendary sword Excalibur. Few, if any, copies survive. And I think it's kind of interesting that you find Excalibur in Emporium. Just saying.
Yeah. Interesting little tie there.
Yeah. But, like, this whole thing, just super cool. And it's, like, all this lore that, did it need to be there? Definitely not. But is it cool that it's there?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I guess I sometimes have a hard time looking at, like, video games as art. But now that as I look at this more and more, this is definitely, like, has some art to it. They're art. But they're also fun. Because I had a lot of fun playing them. And I think that's dope.
Yeah, it's not easy to pull off both. It really isn't. I mean, we've had plenty of conversations on this show before and outside of the show about just the potential of certain, like, mediums, but gaming is definitely one of those that when you can pull off that duality right, it's really impressive.
Yeah. Because, like, once again, I don't know if I've seen a game of this mixture of artness and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I totally get what you're saying. I get it. I know it's hard to put into words, but it's...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. It's definitely an art project.
Also, they've got, like, urban exploring stuff on their Twitter and, like, some vaporwave shit. Literally Dude, all my aesthetics on a Twitter page.
I was going to say, it sounds like you would really vibe with this person.
100%. 100%.
Only Andrew. That invite's still open.
It'll always be open. Unless, of course, you know, you do something whack, but I don't think you will.
Nah, we have faith.
I sure hope not. We have faith. We have faith. And, like I said, I've been trying to find other games of that type. I kind of have found one called Bleakstead, and it's by a... Oh, gosh. Who's it by? I don't want to... A big thing is I don't want to, like... I would feel terrible if, like, I was talking about something and got a name wrong or something. So if I ever do, just please, like, be like, by the way, this is who it was actually, or, you know, any of those things. I just don't want to get anything wrong. Cause of course. A lot of their stuff, super dope. Like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
This is Valerie Dusk. So she has 4 games, I think? I was just clicking back and forth. Yeah, 4. So it's Desert Dreams, Whispering Rock, Thrift, Bleakstead, and Malignancy.
Oh.
All wicked cool sounding things, and definitely stuff I want to peep out. And actually, she might have other stuff. I'm looking down at... I think maybe these are all part of a series. I don't know who these other things are. Anatomy? What is this? Who's this by? Who's this by? Okay, no, it's by somebody else. But yeah, so she has 4 things, 4 games, not things, what am I saying, out that are also of the same vibe, and I do definitely want to peep all of them out as well. And I'm excited too. So that's all I really got to say in the whole matter. I'm sorry if it was all rambling for the past however many minutes.
Honestly, I don't know about the audience, but I had a lot of fun with this, and I was worried. Typical me coming and being like, do we have enough to talk about? Like, I don't know what I'm going to bring up because, you know, I didn't play, like, enough of the game yet. But, no, I thought this was fascinating.
Yeah. It was so cool to play through. And also, another thing. If it turns out that I got the meaning of the game wrong, one, be sure to tell me what you thought, either in the comments or at our Twitter.
Yeah, at 218TimePod.
Hit us up. 218TimePod. And... Oleander, if you have anything to say about it. Also, if I'm pronouncing Oleander wrong, I apologize.
That's a good point. We mean no disrespect, and I hope that is evident from our praise.
But yeah, but like, so please just make sure if we get anything wrong at all, ever, tell us.
Oh yeah. You can call us big stupid dum-dums to our face.
Okay, so I looked up the pronunciation for it's Oleander.
Oh dang, well now I feel like a fool.
I mean,
it's
we were getting the Leander. I could have gone really bad in it and gone like Aleander.
Aleander.
Oleander. Apologies
Literally for saying stupid anyways.
Yeah.
apologies.
Yeah, no, apologies for saying Oleander the whole time. I wish I'd looked it up beforehand, but you know what? Hindsight's 2020. This is 2020. Bad year.
Bad year. You know, no, good year because the world was graced with the greatest podcast of all time.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Yeah.
If 2020 hadn't happened, there'd be no 218 time.
That is true. You're welcome.
You're welcome, 2020. We made it better. That's a joke, by the way. We know we have not much effect on what's going on in the world. But we hope that, I guess, it's a place to go to. Occasionally. You know, stop by, say what's up. Check out how we're doing in any given week.
218 is always open to our friends here, our fellow roommates.
Of course. Our roommates. I think we have more roommates than the original 218 could hold at this point.
We definitely do. It would be a violation of housing rules.
We would have some issues.
And that's on like the tens of views we have now, so.
Yeah, so. Hey. But yeah. As I said before, Oleander, if you want to come on the show, we'd love to have you. As well as if not, you don't necessarily want to be on the show, but you want to maybe comment and be like, hey, you guys are idiots, you're wrong. Once again, please do that.
Straight up, we don't even care about the clout. We just want to make sure we're getting things right. And also, we want to give you the praise.
Overall, when I'm like talking and like, I was, especially this episode, because we were, I mean, I'm not going to say we were talking about, like, heavy topics or anything, but we were talking about topics where if I get something wrong, I'd feel like an idiot. So I'm just trying to make sure I get as much right as possible. But yeah, no, Oleander, love your games. Fantastic. From start to finish. I'm a massive, massive fan, and I'm so excited for the next one. I'm so excited.
So excited. And stay tuned to our show if you want to hear us talk about that when it comes out. I mean, actually, I think by the time this episode comes out, it will already be out.
That is actually true. That's true, because we're quite a few weeks in difference.
But you know what? This is far from the first time we have revealed that we are recording far ahead of time, so who cares? We'll talk about it at some point, no doubt.
Yeah, so excited.
So stay tuned here on YouTube, on our Twitter and Instagrams at 218timepod. You can share your opinions on the games or the show in our subreddit r/218time or by leaving a review. Subscribing to the show on your podcatcher of choice and or following us on social media are both super helpful, and we really appreciate that, but your feedback is what benefits us the most right now. We might even read your review on the show. Ooh. And yeah, just, you know, tell us what you think, and come back next week for more fun shenanigans.
Of course.
All right, well, Godspeed.
Our reservoir.